going to go ahead and start with our post-race press conferences here. For the first duel, we are now joined by Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kelly Earnhardt Miller, and here comes Justin Elgar running up here. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. We will start before we just go straight to questions. Kelly, we'll start with you. Just talk a little bit about, obviously you guys were very involved in this process and getting to this point, but as those laps kind of ticked away, just talk a little bit about y'all's emotions and what it meant to truly take the checkered flag knowing you were in the race on Sunday.
I'm screaming at you. Yeah. Whatever happens, happens. You know, this is our first try, so on and so forth. And then last night came, and it was just really kind of a gut punch when we didn't make it on time. So to have to race tonight was really nerve-wracking. And LW, my husband, said it best. Justin just made us relive Phoenix over and over those last few minutes there. So, but he sucked it up and got in the right position, and here we are. So thank you, Justin.
You're welcome.
And Michael McDowell and Josh Berry.
Yeah. And everyone else who pushed that car.
Dale, talk a little bit about your emotions. We got to see your interview that was on, TV post-race, but just talk to us a little bit about kind of your emotions there. And really, like you said, we get to race on Sunday, what that really means to you guys as an organization.
Yeah, just, it's hard to sit here and put it all into words. It really is probably the toughest thing I've ever had to answer. But, we have kind of tried to downplay how badly we want to race in the Cup Series, at least I have. And it's like, you know, it's one of them things where you're like, man, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I'm not going to make it drag down all the other great things happening in my world. And but, man, we got here and we got a taste of it. And holy moly, yesterday was so disappointing. I didn't really know exactly how badly I wanted to do this or wanted to be a part of something like this until we started going through it. And yesterday was just so tough to understand. Something as simple as just being 8,000ths too slow was really hard to understand and hard to accept. And so just been sitting here all day thinking about how badly I wanted this for all of us. And we asked Justin to go on this journey with us, and he is the driver, has to shoulder a lot of the pressure, more pressure than anyone. Greg Ives agreed to do this with us, and he has had to handle so much pressure to try to put this thing in the field. And I wanted it for everybody that was feeling all of that. And Kelly said, we race, we love to race, and racing is hard, and I wouldn't have it any other way. This was rough emotionally, but damn it. It's fun when it works out.
We can just go home now.
I cannot wait for Sunday. I mean, we have and we have a freaking Xfinity race to run. That's going to be awesome. But we get to push a car on the grid Sunday for the first time ever. And in the biggest, most important race that I've ever known. And I can't wait. And doing it with Justin, my sister, LW, our family, our team. B. Hoover is my car chief. B. Hoover worked on my AC Delco car. He worked on the Bud car.
He was as excited as anybody out there.
He was even reluctant, like, to do this because of the emotions, you know. And it's just special. And there's a lot of people really that have helped us and are on this journey with us. And so, man, yes, we got to check the big box, and that's getting the race. From here on out, it's really icing on the cake, and I'm just proud of Justin, man. Those last two laps, I didn't think we were in a good spot. I really didn't think there was a third groove. I didn't think anyone would want to go up there with us. It was tried a couple times in the race. Didn't look very, very good. Our car was a little sluggish at points. But Justin didn't have any other choice, and he went up there, and he got some help, and he made it work, and I'm just thankful.
And Justin, you've had quite the stretch between winning the championship in November, obviously coming here with the reality of having to make the race. Like Dale said, you still have an Xfinity race to run tomorrow, or I should say on Saturday. But just talk a little bit about the pressure. I mean, it's been a lot of months. You've had some pressure on your shoulders.
Yeah, I don't even know what day of the week it is, what time it is. I feel like we're in a time warp. You know, last night was probably, emotionally one of the more draining qualifying efforts ever, right? Because I knew how important qualifying was and how much easier the race gets to tonight. It's funny. I was pushing Martin with like three or four to go, and I mean pushing, and he's got his hand at the window like, what are we doing? Like, I can't go anywhere. And I told him, I said, apologize to him, but we got to go. And, you know, but Dale and Kelly being up here, LW, I mean, when you look at the motion of them and you look at the emotion of everybody on pit road tonight, I don't know that there's words to describe it. Dale's already said it, but like, I don't know why this feels different, why this is more emotional, why this is more pressure and stress. I mean, I think for me, I just don't want to let Dale down. I don't want to let Kelly down. I don't want to let our fans down. You know, Chris Stapleton has been extremely excited about this project with Traveler Whiskey, and you know, he's coming on Sunday, hopefully, and I didn't want him to show up and not have a car in the field, right? That'd be pretty weird. But honestly, those last two laps, I thought we were wrecking on the back straightaway. I thought I think the 10 pulled up maybe in front of the 16 and got into the wall, and I thought it was game over. But you know, Michael kept pushing, and I think Josh was behind Michael, right? Mm-hmm. And just kept pushing, and you know, coming across the line was like this relief that I don't even know if I got that same relief winning the championship last fall. I don't know. It was really weird, but you're proud of the effort, proud of the team. You know, we got a lot of work to do before Sunday. You know, some damage we got to fix from the first incident, some things like that. Some things we can clean up as a driver and as a team. And, you know, like Dale said, this is icing on the cake now. We can go have some fun on Sunday and know that we're locked into the Great American Race. And it feels good. It feels good to say we're going to start the Daytona 500.
All right. We're going to go ahead and go to questions to the media. We're going to do our best to get as many in as we can. And to kick us off, we'll go to Dustin Long and then Holly Kane.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports, for you, Dale.
Yeah. I see Mike Davis. Sorry, hey, Mike.
You already gave me a big hug. He's excited.
I see that smile right there. Dustin. You can't miss that smile.
So there have been so many moments in the Earnhardt family history at this track, obviously good and bad, and I'm just curious, how do you describe the relationship that you have with this track through your experiences?
I probably need a psychiatrist to describe it, but I'm not. You know, when Daddy loved Daytona, you know, and loved winning here, you know, and he just loved to win any race here. He loved to add to that number, whatever it was, 36 wins. And gosh, you know, I loved coming here as a kid. But just a lot of great memories. And then, you know, so when he passed away, I had to make a decision. I had a career in front of me. I was coming back multiple times, and I had to figure out a way to be okay with it. And I knew that it wasn't the track, you know, that took him. And I knew that he, wherever he was still felt the same about Daytona. And so I've embraced it, and him losing his life in this property brought this property closer to me. Now, that doesn't work the same for other people in tragedy, but for me, knowing I had to keep coming here, I made some peace with it and embraced the track and love it. And add on top of that, you know, I love the history of the sport, and add on top of the fact that this is like the cornerstone or this is the foundation of the sport between Darlington here and a few other tracks. This is really what helped us launch ourselves off of the beach and out of the dirt tracks of, you know, the little bull rings and make us a genuine sport. And all of the historic moments that have happened here and getting to win here myself and, I think that I was going to say at some point during this press conference that we should celebrate this track and this race. Where else do you go and barely make the field and cry tears of joy? Nowhere. There's some relief, but, I mean, this is incredible. So I think that helps you measure the importance of the race and how big it is to me anyways. But that's kind of the way it is for me. I love coming here. My kids, on the other hand, just love the MRO and playground part. Isla's always asking me when we're coming back to Daytona, and I get a little funny feeling inside because I'm like, dang, she likes Daytona, but it's just the MRO and the playground. it's a special place. I don't know. It's cool.
And Kelly, do you mind to answer that same question as well?
I don't know what to say after all that. Yeah, I mean, just the same thing. I mean, this place is special. Dale alluded to the memories as a kid, and that's what Isla's doing now, creating those memories as a kid. And, coming here, we came here on vacation, so to speak, was the vacation that our family took. And, just seeing the wins with Dad and how hard he worked to try to conquer this track and after so many years, and being here for Dale's wins, in the 500 and just coming – Dale said it best. I mean, there's just no better place than this racetrack. This is the crown jewel of everything that we do. This is the start of everything we do. This is the big race that everybody wants to make. And here we are sitting here. We're about to start our first one.
You're crazy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Microphone to Holly, please.
Wow, that's kind of hard to follow up on.
No kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
Now it makes sense.
Either one of you or all three of you can answer this, but you certainly made it dramatic.
Not on purpose, I can assure you.
But just talk about that. I mean, that was absolutely an amazing last couple of laps. If you could just kind of take us through that. And then Dale and Kelly, if you would just talk about what that was like for you. I mean, you brought it to the wire just.
You know, one of the things, Greg and I sat down, we talked about before the race was like, we knew fuel mileage was going to come into play. And I don't think everybody got as good a fuel mileage in the race as what we kind of thought we were going to get. And, people were saving, we were saving. And they kept telling me, you're doing a great job saving. We're doing the right things. But in that moment, you're riding around and everybody's kind of saving. I can see the flames coming out the exhaust pipes and, guys in front. It was kind of accordion with the amount of saving that was going on. But I knew my car drove good and I knew we had speed at certain levels. And so we get down closer to the end, and one of those restarts, we kind of got shuffled to the back, and I got really tight. Well, I was up a little bit higher, and I got really, really tight off of turn four, and it dropped me all the way to the tail. And I was in a little bit of panic mode, but I remembered right before the race, Dale told me, he said, you can listen to whatever you want to listen to, you can think whatever you want to think, but he said, you're going to instinctually make moves that are going to make you do the right thing. You've done this how many times, and you're going to make these moves, and it's going to work, and so the spotter was telling me that the 71 had already told him if we wanted to jump out of line, he would go with us. And I just said, we're gonna commit to it. We're going to go for it without the help of those cars behind us and maybe a little bit of help from the car stacking up in front of us. I don't know that it would have worked, but I thought we were in great shape. And then the 16 kind of got up in front and I thought, okay, we're okay here still. And then that last lap when the 10 pulled up and I knew the closing rate was going to be huge, I just lifted early because I thought the 16 was actually going to wreck with the 10. I lifted a little bit early, and luckily we did, and it all got gathered back up. The only hard part was we come across the line. I couldn't hear Greg that well tonight. We come across the line. I'm like, where'd we finish? Because, I don't know if this 44 was able to make it up on the inside of the road. And I think, to that point, the way that the race played out, it was so weird to have, majority of the players that we were racing against crash out early. Even the 44, I spun the 44 out in the crash because I couldn't get slowed up in time. And, so you don't know. Like, you don't know how these races are going to play out. And just what they have talked about so far, I don't know. I feel like that's been the feeling of everybody. It's the emotions, the pressure, the stress because of how much this place means. And I think that's where, like, those last couple laps are like, you just got to go for it. If you crash at that point or you don't make it, you got to walk out of here and say you gave it 100%. And we did for those last couple laps, and we had a lot of help, and it worked out. And we get to go have some fun on Sunday.
Yeah, you couldn't talk to Greg because I had him in a headlock. But, for me, I was pretty nervous, too, about what our options were. And when he went to the top, I wasn't 100% sure what would come of that because I didn't just have a lot of faith in that line and that groove, but Justin didn't have any other choice, and he just committed to it, and got a couple of people to help, and it worked. And the bottom was absolutely not the place to be, which where that's kind of where JJ was, and he was looking really good, of course. But you know, JJ's car and I think our car would have benefited from the top line, and that's where we ended up getting the job done. So learned some things, I think, for Sunday, but it was super super intense those last two laps, probably.
Yeah. I was really nervous, and, you know, for me, none of us would be sitting up here if it wasn't for Traveler Whiskey to get behind us. We wouldn't be able to have this opportunity. So, you know, from my business brain up here, I'm just really excited that we have a car in the 500 for them. Our team and everybody on board has worked really hard, and we came here with a really first-class effort in every single thing that we put together between our hauler and our car and our team and our uniforms and just everything together, and I'm really happy for them.
The beauty contest.
I'm telling you what, if you can see that thing week in and week out for all 36 races, it's beautiful. But I'm most happy about that, and that's what I was thinking about the whole race, you know, because I mean it is special, really, really special to be up here with Dale and to be here with Justin and to be here for Junior Motorsports. But we wouldn't be here without a partner that believed in the fact that we could do it. But believe me, they've been texting our ears off.
Yeah. I just look at Dale's phone and keeps lighting up. I don't have my phone. It went dead earlier.
My phone's going
and
crazy.
I'm scared to death at my phone. If it looks anything like his, I know he's got a lot of friends, but holy cow, his phone just keeps going.
Chris was texting me the whole race, what are we swapping tires for? I'm like, we're just run over some debris. We're going to be on the safe side. But he's super engaged, and he was very particular about the design of the car. Which me and it was funny because I am too, and we were kind of butting heads not you know, over emails about things that we wanted the car to have, and but I loved that. I was glad that it was important to him, and then we got to go to the photo shoot and do these interviews, and I got to interviewing for the download, and he was so gracious with all that time and so excited and looking forward to the whole project, and he's been texting me all weekend and about the car and what's going on and just trying to plug in. And so I'm thankful that he's, you know, obviously wants to be here for the race. And so I'm thankful that he'll get that opportunity.
All right. We're going to go Kelly and then Zach. If I get a microphone to Zach over here.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Justin, for you, how will you now balance your emotions the rest of the weekend, getting ready for Sunday with all of these highs and lows in 24 hours?
I don't know what emotions you have anymore. Like, at this point, we get to go have fun. I mean, the Xfinity Series race, obviously coming back after winning a championship last year, you know, this is an important race for us, but it's going to be fun. I know what we have in the Xfinity Series side, and you know, our Brent Fresnar, Colt Camaro is really, really good. I know Jim Pullman has been working really hard on it. Jim actually is funny. I saw Jim standing behind the car, and he's here and he's helping out with the Cup program. He really wants to be involved in this. And so it's been really, really different for him, right? Not being that crew chief role and just being behind the scenes. And his smile tonight was like, oh yeah, I know that Saturday is going to go really well now, because you know, we were in and it takes a lot of the pressure and a lot of the stress off. And then as Kelly alluded to, you know, now we can go have fun. We can go to Sunday and whatever happens on Sunday, you know, we can enjoy it. I think we'll have a good race car, and you know, listen, Greg has worked tirelessly this weekend to make sure that we're doing all the right things, and he's you know he talked about B on the car, right? But there's this great mix of veterans and then this youth and you know, first time going to the Cup Series in our pit stall. And it's so cool to see everybody's emotions, because some people are excited because they know how cool this is. Other people are excited because they're experiencing something that they've never experienced before. And so I think for me, now it's just watch everybody else and get to enjoy the fun of this week. I mean, we've talked about it over and over and over again, but this racetrack is special, and this Daytona 500 is special. You know, It's pretty wild what it turns into, you know, here for a week in February, but it's really, really cool.
Dale, two for you real quick. The garage opens at 7 a.m. on Sunday. Will you be here for that?
Hell yeah.
I'll give him a pass if he wants to sleep in on Sunday.
On Sunday, because his kids will be here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that'll be easier. He'll be awake. That'll be easier because they'll wake me up either way.
And I heard you on the radio tonight giving some advice for Justin. Will you do that on Sunday, or will you keep yourself off the radio on Sunday?
Yeah, oddly, man, I feel totally uncomfortable doing that on the Xfinity radios because I'm around that group so closely. I don't like to, like, get in their way, the crew chiefs and so forth. They have a plan. They talk. They spend the whole year, like, planning and game planning, and it's like, who's this guy, you know, talking? And, you know, we got a plan, okay? So I kind of don't want to – but this has been ours. We've done this. This thing felt like I could just jump right in there, right?
It was awesome, by the way. I don't know if you ever know this or not, but when Dale Jr. talks on the radio at Daytona, it's pretty special. So.
I felt like what I had to say would be helpful. And so – and I wanted him to – I thought he knew it too, and I wanted him to know, like, hey, man, I'm thinking this way, and he may have more confidence in his thoughts. Because we're race drivers and we kind of see the same things, but I don't know. It felt comfortable because I've been, I don't know. Yeah, I'll talk Sunday for sure. A lot.
I'll be upset if he doesn't. How about that?
I don't do it on Saturday because I feel like I'm not, it's not my place. It's
if
weird.
You want to talk on Saturday, you can, just
well,
so you know.
Yeah, but then the other guys get jealous. It's like I can't talk to all of them, you know.
It is weird though. His radio, oddly enough, was crystal clear.
Yeah.
And right. I couldn't hear Greg at all, so.
Same.
All right, Zach.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. For Dale or Kelly, you guys have talked about the emotions attached to all of this. If obviously you wish last night would have gone differently and you wouldn't have had the pressure, but because you went through that and all of those ups and downs, how much more rewarding does that make tonight for the both of you?
More, yeah. I don't want things to be as hard as they possibly can, but certainly when you go, like, we went in the Xfinity Championship in Phoenix. Like, man, we were so out of it at one point. And I don't know, you know, it just – when you have those kind of moments – and, look, this might not seem as big to some other people in the room and even some people outside of this room, but I know how it feels internally for me, and I think everybody here is experiencing the same thing emotionally. And we kept telling ourselves, like, man, if it was easy, it wouldn't matter as much, you know? And not that we want it to be as hard as it possibly can, but damn, it makes it rewarding when you finally get what you're looking for. And that's racing.
I think, too. Yeah, we're in our DNA is to earn it, you know? And that's how we were brought up with Dad. And I think everything that we do, like, you put that hard work in, and it feels better to earn
your
success.
I tell myself sometimes I'm a fool to come into these racetracks and think this stuff's going to be handed over just because of what we've done or where we've been in the past. It doesn't care, you know. And it didn't care this week. we had to dig.
All right. John and then Matt in front of me. Go ahead, John.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. Justin, I was talking to Greg a few minutes ago, and he said repeatedly that those last couple laps, everything you had to fight back through, kept reminding him of the Xfinity Championship race last season. Is there any comparison in your mind? How does, you know, do you agree with his perception of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you get down and you get your back against the wall, and you just got to figure out how to get out of it. And I think that, you know, selfishly, I think early in the race I ran a little bit differently because I didn't want to crash the car. You know, I didn't want to be involved in the wrecks. You know, I think that if I look back at the 600 last year, right, when I filled in for Kyle, you ride around at the beginning of the race and you're just trying to get comfortable. You're trying to understand, like, where the switches are at and, you know, make sure you're hitting your shift points. And, you know, there's a lot that is different about this car than the Xfinity Series car. And when it got down close to the end, you know, as the intensity ramps up, you're like, all right, I'm okay. I'm sitting in an okay spot. And when we were rolling up the bottom and we were making moves, I'm like, okay, this is going the way that we needed to go. And then it was like, you know, flipped the switch and it went exactly the opposite. And that's exactly how Phoenix was, right? Like, we drove up to the front of the field, everything was good, and then you flipped the switch, we have the penalty, and now you're sitting in the back. And so I think that tonight was a lot that, but I think to Dale's point, if it was easy, it wouldn't mean as much. And I know that know, you don't ever want to put yourself behind. I mean, you're not gonna start off at a golf game three strokes behind and you know, be like, oh, I just want to give everybody a chance. You know, that's not gonna be the game. You know, the game. But I do feel like it made those last two laps were probably the most fun I've ever had in a race car, right? Because I mean, you literally just lock your elbows, and Michael was pushing me so hard. I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm hitting the 16, he's hitting me, and it's like you don't know if you're gonna come out the other side of it and you know, spin out or whatever, but you just gotta go, and that was really, really special. Learned a lot for Sunday, you know, learned some things that I need to work on inside the car, just comfort wise, that will definitely make a big difference. Winner, by the way, congratulations,
there
Bubba.
He is, yeah.
Oh, we gotta go now.
But it was a special moment to run those last few laps. And even, you know, I think even when it started to go haywire at the end, it's still just, you got to keep pushing, and that's how Phoenix was. So it was really special.
All right, we'll wrap with Matt. Go ahead, Matt.
Matt Weaver, Sportsnet. Speaking of the haywire moment, you addressed that, so I'll leave this part to Dell and Kelly. But I'm curious, like, in real time, and this might be hard for both of you to articulate, but, like, all three of the open cars, counting Truex, is, you guys are three wide practically. And so I'm curious, like, do you just want just Justin to get the best finish possible, and then however it plays out is how it plays out? Or are you guys, like, calculating in your head, well, if Martin gets in, then it goes back on time, or yeah, we need Martin to go forward, or we need JJ to go backwards? Like, are you guys doing all that real-time kind of calculus?
I was sitting.
I was yelling the whole time.
Yeah, I'm
Justin.
Justin's driving the car. He makes the choices. I told him before the race, you're going to do things on instinct and not think. You're just going to do, and that's how you race here. But there were some moments where I'm like, man, if he can just push, the Truex is at the top, 44 is in the bottom, and they're kind of neck and neck there for a while, and we're right behind him. I was like, man, just commit to the 56, just push the 56 and buy the 44, and we're good. But Justin's like, nah, I'm fucking win. I'm gonna win this thing. I'm going to the top. And I was like, all right, you know.
I tried to push him, but he stuck his hand out the window and didn't want
to
go.
Well, he needed to get the hell out of the way then. But, you know, I was like, wow, you know, all that's going on the whole time. But, so of course, yeah. I mean, I had how many hours today to play out all the scenarios and wonder if there might be some scenarios hiding somewhere that I wasn't thinking about.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing. I was shouting at Justin, and they could all hear me over their radios, and just shouting for him to go and shouting for him to go. And, I mean, we were right beside the 44 the entire time, so it's like we needed to get away from it. And then that last caution, I looked over at LW, and I was like, is Greg going to bring us back to pit again? Because, like, every time we made up some ground, Greg brought us back into pit. And so I was like, please don't bring us back into pit again. I don't want to have to go through this. But, yeah. I sit there and yell and talk the whole race and try to figure out why they're not doing what they're doing. But they're better at, especially Dale, obviously I haven't driven a race car at Daytona, so the top and the bottom and where to go and how to go and all that, I'm just sitting there yelling at them.
I got to tell you a story real quick, though. So LW and Wyatt are sitting over here. We drove around all day on the golf cart, at least for a little bit. We went and sat at the lake, and we talked about what happened tonight. Like, literally, what happened tonight. And we were even giving Martin some grief when we rolled back into the motor coach lot because he pulled in and we were blocking his pit stall. And we told him, well, if you're in the way, get out of the way. And and it was just funny how everything kind of came full circle and all three of us ended up in that same spot. But, like, my biggest fear was I'm trying to push him and he wouldn't go. And I'm like, Dale and Martin are, like, really good buddies. And I don't want to try to pull to the outside right here, but I feel like I have to at this point. Dale's going to be sad if I don't. And it worked out. So we at least got that done. But now we're going to – you bought fishing poles today, right?
Yeah.
I need to borrow them because Wyatt and I and LW were talking about going fishing in the morning. So.
Well, it's Isla's pink fishing pole, if you don't
listen,
mind.
I will not be sad about a little kid's fishing pole.
All right.
I think the kids at Sunday watched
Truex put the worm on it.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
I think.
I'm like, hey, pro, here, if you do this.
I think having the kids on Sunday, though, is going to be awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, my girls will be here.
Yeah, same. Oh. So it's going to be awesome.
Special.
All right, we're going to squeeze one final question in with Jenna. Go ahead,
Apologies,
Jenna.
Bubba, for keeping you waiting. My question's for...
Hey, he won. He's
fine.
He's fine. He's fine. My question's for Mr. Hoosier Jr. You ran two previous Daytona 500s. This is going to be your first one in 10 years. Did you think that you'd ever get a chance to get back in this race?
I didn't. No, I really didn't. You know, those two were amazing experiences, you know, and Rick Brandt was here tonight, and I could just tell that it was the same emotion, you know, because he's lived through it with me. And, you know, those two were great, great experiences for me. But I didn't have the level of, I don't know, want or understanding. I don't know what it is. This one is significantly different than those were. I mean, significantly different. And I don't think I realized how much I missed this race until you come back to it. You know, in the moment, like when you're racing it year over year, like it's still a big deal. You know, but back then we had a provisional and we were in, and really wasn't that big of a deal to have to race your way in. Tonight was like, we're going home if we don't. I don't want to let everybody down. So yeah, I mean, I think for me, I didn't realize how much I missed this race until I didn't have the opportunity to, and I can't thank them enough for giving me the opportunity to do it, because it's special. You know, this whole week has been special. The whole project's been special, and I'm excited to go after it on Sunday.
I do want to add, as we wrap, and one final congratulations, but I do want to point out, LW's not on the stage, but he has not stopped smiling this entire press conference. So a big congratulations to all you guys, and we wish you the best of luck on Sunday.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.